Today's sermon text comes from James chapter 5, the final verses of the letter. This month we've been working our way through the book of James, and today we're finishing this book by beginning in verse 13, going through the end of the letter at verse 20. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth, and someone should bring him back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. O Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that you would open our eyes and our hearts to your word. Help us to reflect well on it in the time that we have together today. Bless us, we pray, in your holy and precious name. Amen. This has been a full morning already. We've sung songs of praise to our Lord, we've prayed to our Lord, and we've heard from our youth about their trip to Chicago. This has been a full day. I know stomachs are rumbling, football games are about to kick off, you know, yada, yada, yada. So let me just share a few thoughts with you about this final passage from James. One of the themes that jumps out, not just from James, but from the entire morning that we've shared together, is prayer. The importance of prayer. You might have seen the sign out front all week long, and then the title in the bulletin. The responsibility of prayer. What responsibility do we have toward each other as we think about this idea of prayer? As Pastor Jerry shared with us on several occasions, today and earlier, you've heard, the beginning and ending of this Chicago trip happened right here at these altar rails. Right here. We gathered here to send our youth off to Chicago for this weekend mission trip and began it with prayer. Such an important thing, such a vital thing, to begin with an understanding that God is involved in this process and that we're asking God to protect and to guide and to strengthen and to make it a good trip. This trip would not have been possible. They could have gone on the trip. It would have been probably just fine, but it would not have really been possible without prayer. Beginning and ending, book ending the trip. Our youth ministry in general isn't possible without prayer. It could happen. We could have a youth ministry without prayer and prayer partners in this church. But really, to make it possible, to make it happen, to make it good, it so needs prayer. By the way, Lauren says amen to that. By the way, if you are a prayer partner for one of our youth, whether they're here today or not, would you just stand where you are so you guys can look around and see who our prayer partners are? These are folks. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. You can be seated. These are folks who are committed to praying for you. One of them is assigned to each of you, and the others of you who aren't here, you know how this works. But these are the folks on a representation basis of the rest of the congregation. We are lifting you all up in prayer. Not just you, but of course there are a couple back here too. I should be talking to Shane and Brennan and the others who are here as well. And remember, there's more opportunity for this because we have new people coming into the youth group. Okay, so we need more prayer partners. This is something Jerry shared about last week. That's a little plug for you. Talk to Jerry if you're not a prayer partner, would like to be. This is really an essential part of our ministry. Our church has a very active prayer chain, a telephone chain that shares prayer requests down the line. It's very effective. effective and very meaningful. It gets people connected. It happens instantaneously. It's amazing to me how quickly messages get sent down the prayer chain. And then I know people are praying about whatever the need is at any particular moment. We're very good about praying for physical needs. If someone goes in the hospital or is having some kind of physical emergency, we're very good about that. And that's a good thing. Because in the Church of God, we have a history of believing in divine healing. We believe in something that some folks might say, oh, that's kind of weird. We don't believe in the weird kind of divine healing where, you know, I slap you on the forehead and you fall over and everything's perfect in your life. We don't believe in that because I don't have that. If I hit you in the head, you just get bruised, okay? It doesn't really, it might not even get you bruised, depending on how hard I try. But we believe in divine healing that says, anybody who is healed by God is healed by God. That all healing comes from God because He's the one who made us in the first place. So when someone experiences a miraculous sort of healing, we are very quick to say, this belongs to God. This is something that God has done. Now, it doesn't happen for everybody all the time. Tragedies happen, sicknesses happen, deaths happen. We understand that. But when good happens, we know it comes from the Lord. On occasion, we will anoint a person. As James says in this letter, we will anoint someone with oil. Have this oil here. We keep it on tap, so to speak. Should I say we keep it in the bottle? Okay, it's not any better to say that. We keep a little vial, that's the right word. Don't listen to anything I say. We keep a little vial of oil in the pulpit for any occasion when someone... There's a lot of oil in here. It can go a long time. For when someone needs to be anointed... In the name of the Lord. We do this in faith, knowing that God provides the healing. This is just regular old oil. There's nothing magic about it. It doesn't slap you on the forehead and suddenly everything's perfect in your life. But it's a sign, as James says, a sign of God's presence in your life and your commitment over to God. When we anoint someone with oil, what we're doing is just what the ancient Israelites did when they anointed their kings with oil. You know, this is how they did this. When a king would come up to become king of Israel, first Saul and then David, and then it split. Solomon and his sons split the kingdom after that. Rehoboam, anyway, you don't care about that. When they would anoint maybe you do, I shouldn't say that. You do care about that, but that's not why we're here. When they would anoint the kings to become king, it wouldn't be just a little drop of oil on your forehead. It would be a bucket of oil poured over you, so it would run down your face and across your cheeks and down your beard if you had a beard and things like that. This was to show that this person, the king of Israel, was set apart, was committed to God, that this person was no longer just a person doing his own thing, but was set apart for the work of God that God had designed for this person to do. So when we do this business of anointing someone with oil here, it's not a magic cure, but what it is a sign that the person who is being anointed is being set apart for the work of God, specifically for the work of healing. So when we see the healing take place in that person's life, we don't say, whew, that's a relief, glad we crossed that hurdle, or, hey, it's a good thing to have health insurance or such good medical care in this society. We say, this person was set apart for the work of God. Now we get to look and see what God has done. That's what this is about. When we anoint someone for healing, it's about reminding us that God is the one who does the work of healing. Anointing the sick is a meaningful experience for us because it reveals the central message of this passage from James. And that message is this. We are responsible for each other's well-being and for each other's growth in discipleship. That's the one thing I would take away from this final passage in James. We are responsible for each other's well-being and for each other's growth in discipleship. It's easy for us to pray about physical needs. If someone's going into the hospital or has some other kind of test coming up, it's easy for us to commit that to prayer and say, God, do something in that person's life. It's harder for us, I think, to realize that when we do that, we are showing that we are connected to each other, that we belong to each other. and that this Christian life is a corporate experience. It's not something that we do as a personal quest. By salvation in Christ, we belong to the church of God. This is one of our most fundamental beliefs, that by believing in Jesus Christ, we don't just have salvation for all eternity, but we're made part of a broader group of people who are on the same journey of discipleship together. We belong to each other. It means that we don't walk this journey alone. It means that we do it together. And it means that we have a responsibility for each other. Look at what James says in this passage. Is somebody in trouble? Maybe by being persecuted in the early church. That was very common in that time. Is somebody in trouble? Pray. He should pray. Prayer is always better in a group. You can pray on your own, but it's always better to have somebody to pray with you. Is someone happy or cheerful? He should sing songs of praise. Now, you can sing a song of praise on your own. I hope you do. In the shower or in the car or wherever you are, walking the halls of school, I don't know. Sing a song of praise. But I tell you what, it's always better to sing songs of praise in harmony. And you can't do that on your own. You have to have other people to sing with you. It's better to sing songs of praise together. Is someone sick? He should be prayed for and should be anointed. And beyond that, James says, this person who is sick should confess whatever sins there might be in that person's life to each other. And you should forgive each other. Now, this is hard. We don't talk about confession too much. We do that kind of personally, kind of privately. But James says very clearly, confess your sins to each other. If you have sinned against each other, confess it to each other. The reason James does this is because in the ancient way of thinking, sin and punishment, sin and sickness, were tied together. If there was an illness in your life, it's probably because you had some hidden sin in your life. You just read the story of Job, and it tells you that in the Old Testament. Job had all this terrible stuff happen to him, and his friends thought, well, the reason is, you've sinned, obviously. So just confess your sin, out with it, and you'll be fine. Things will be better. Well, we've learned in recent years, since medical technology has kind of caught up and we've become more scientifically aware, that illnesses sometimes just happen. And it's not because of sin all the time. Now, there are some sins that will lead to illnesses. Things like sexually transmitted diseases stem from, basically, from a root cause of sin. If you're not careful with how you use your body, if you're not committed to your married partner, then you can have some side effects, obviously. This is the way the world works. Some sicknesses are due to sin. Others are just things that happen. People have heart attacks. They just happen, don't they? It's not because of a sin in somebody's life. Okay, so we have to sort of interpret what James is saying here pretty carefully. When he says, if someone needs healing or is sick, come and have them anointed and have them confess their sins to each other. Those two things don't always have to go together, but the principle still holds. We need to do this thing together. If someone is sick in our community, they should be sick in our community. We should pray for them. So when someone does have a heart attack or eight, Doug, we can come and pray for you. And walk with you through this journey so you don't have to do it alone. You're just an illustration, you know. I'm not trying to single you out here, but you know how it works. This is what we do. We walk through life together because we're responsible for each other, for each other's well-being, and for each other's growth in discipleship. And lastly, James says, is somebody wandering from the truth? The very final words of this letter, is somebody wandering away? People do that, you know. This is normal church life. People come and go. Some of us will be rooted in one church congregation our entire lives. Others of us will move as jobs move us from place to place. Some people will come into a church and go to a different one. And some will just wander away altogether. Is somebody wandering from the truth? Is somebody leaving the church completely, having no more room for it? James says, go and get them back because we are responsible for each other. We're not just solo Christians. We are corporate Christians. We have a responsibility to bring the sheep of the fold back into the fold. Go after them. Bring them back home to Christ and to the church. So today's passage has sort of a double-sided application for us. There is great comfort to be had in this passage. We belong to each other. We can depend on each other. In good times and in bad, we have a family of God to which we belong. But on the other side, there is a challenge there. We belong to each other. We are responsible for each other. We have to look out for each other. We're called to by Scripture. So I'd encourage you, pray for our youth. Pray for those who are here today. Pray for those who aren't here today. Pray for them as they gather this evening. They'll meet every Sunday night. This is the public announcement for all the youth. Every Sunday night, from now until eternity. Well, to the end of the school year. 6 p.m., right downstairs, right below our feet. Pray for our youth. Pray for those who are sick. There are some in our congregation who aren't here today because their bodies have declined or are declining. Pray for those who are sick, who are ailing, who are aging. Pray for those who are not as healthy as they want to be or have been. But do more than just pray. Confess your own sins. Be active in confessing your sins. Be active in extending forgiveness of sins to each other. Be active in singing songs of praise and in seeking the lost. Spur each other on in discipleship. Look for opportunities to help each other become more like Christ. And remember that our prayers and our behaviors matter. They make a difference in this world. Our youth trip began with prayer. That mattered. The actions that the youth took in Chicago mattered too. Our prayers and our behaviors make a difference because we bear a responsibility for each other's well-being and for each other's growth in discipleship. This is the call of James to the early church and to the church throughout history for us to be the body of Christ. I'm excited to be a part of this with you. Shall we pray together? Lord God, we give you such thanks that we can be called your children, that we can call you our Lord. We give you thanks for the ability we have to meet in freedom and in peace here in this place. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to us and to all believers throughout all history. And Lord, we ask that we would continue to be drawn together as your people, that we would see an increase in the responsibility we bear toward each other in how we pray and how we behave toward each other. Make us your people that are united in Christ, that we might be your people here and might be your people on mission in the world, whether it's in Chicago or at Dow Diamond or in our own neighborhood or anywhere else that we find ourselves. Make us people of mission so that we might bring glory to your name and bring the lost to you for your glory's sake. It's in your name that we pray these things. Amen.